Good to see all of you, and it's good to be here. Just got back from a trip to Trinidad, and Sean and Robin are still there. And we celebrated the 30th anniversary of the Trinidad Tobago Church there in Porto, Spain, and it was a great time together. Great disciples there, and I had about 400 plus people in attendance there for the anniversary service, and it's just so encouraging to see all the good things that God is doing all over the world, and our sister church there in Trinidad. My first visit there, and got to partake in some of the special Trinidad food, the roti and the shark bake, and man, that thing is awesome, I'm telling you. Explodes in your mouth. I mean, it was, I'll never forget that sandwich, man. Down there on the beach. Narrow roads, you feel like your life is being taken into your hands, but boy, it definitely helps you to have faith in God. You're traveling those narrow Trinidadian roads there. Today we're going to talk about one of the keys to success in your life. So I'm going to pray together, and then I'm going to reveal to you what that subject is. Let's bow together. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for every day, because we know it's a gift from you. Thank you for being a great God that we can always look to and depend on, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are love, that you're a light, that, God, you care about all of us, and that you want more than anything for us to spend eternity with you. Bless our time together today. Help us to draw closer to you, closer to one another, and God, help us to be ever more transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. And as I mentioned, I want to talk about one of the keys to success in life, success in marriage, success in parenting, success in your career. If you put into practice the things that we talk about today, it can change your life forever and put you on a great path. And what we're going to talk about today is humility. Humility. And the title of our message today is Walk Humbly with Your God. Walk humbly with your God, out of Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And if you don't remember any other verse in the book of Micah, you need to remember Micah 6 in verse 8, where Micah tells us, he says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And really, the key word there is require. God requires humility. It's not just a nice thing to add to our list of Christian virtues, but humility before God and man is essential for us to make it to heaven. It's essential for us to even give glory to God and to be like Jesus, because there was no one more humble than Jesus. And so I want to help us today to apply these things to our lives, because in my recent interactions with disciples, what I've seen is a greater need for humility, both in my own life and in their lives. And sometimes it amazes me how we can continue to have our walk with God and yet not grow in humility, not grow in an understanding of who we are before God. And here's my definition of humility. Humility is the proper estimate and view of oneself before God and others. It's having the correct estimate of who you are in the sight of God. Humility is seeing yourself as you really are, not as you hope to be, not as you pretend to be, but as you truly are. Humility is valuing others as they are in the sight of God. Humility can take you a long way. I mean, it can take you so far as a disciple. And without it, God will stop you dead in your tracks. Too often, we do not see ourselves as we really are, as we should see ourselves in the presence of God. Too often we think too highly of ourselves. And that's why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Because human nature is to prop ourselves up and to have a bigger view and picture of ourselves than we truly are. That improper view, that is what gets us in trouble. When we don't see ourselves the way we are. If you have good friends in your life, one of the things that they do is help you to see yourself as you really are. Those are true friends who speak the truth in love. If you've got friends who never tell you the truth, they're not your friends. If you've got friends who continue to let you be arrogant and proud and don't call you on it, those aren't your friends. Your best friends are the people who stop you and say, hey, let me give you a true picture of what this looks like and what your attitude looks like and how your actions led to this and how this is really the evidence of pride and arrogance instead of humility. Now you say, Sam, why talk about humility? Well, I'm going to tell you something, church. You'll never get to heaven without humility. You'll never have a successful marriage without humility. And if there's anything you need to teach your children, it's humility before God and before others. Because in this life, they will struggle even more than they should if they don't learn humility. And you can't be like Jesus without humility. Humility, and I want to talk about it in two areas today. Humility, number one, before God, which is most important. And number two, humility before one another. Now, if you get the first one on, the second one won't be so difficult. And a lot of times we find ourselves struggling with the second one because we haven't obeyed the first one. Because we haven't taken to heart the first one, and that's humility before God. You know, almost every morning, I go for a prayer walk like I did this morning. And so much of that time is spent exalting God, praising God, thanking God, understanding how awesome and amazing God is as I look at all the nature around me, because the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. I mean, they show the glory and the majesty of God. I mean, you look at the sun and how God created it and how it reflects the power and the glory and the greatness of our God. And it just humbles me before him to know that I'm just this little speck of dust. And yet this amazing God knows who I am and calls me his son and has redeemed me by the blood of his son. I don't deserve it. I stand in awe of how great God is. You know, when I was a young man, you know, I always knew there was a God, but I tried to be a bit agnostic and not really acknowledge him as God. And the guy who was studying the Bible with me, his name was Steve Pipkin. One morning, he took me out and he said, Sam, I know you're having your issues with God. And we went out and we saw the sunrise. And he said, now, can you tell me that there's no God when you see that? And for the sun to rise every day and for it to set every night and to be an exact distance from the earth that is needed for us to sustain life and for God to hold it together, can you tell me there's no God? You know, over in the book of Isaiah, we're going to look at that in a minute. But I think the question comes down to, when you're talking about humility, how do you see God? How do you see him? Because none of us are equal to God or can even begin to think that we are. We are the clay. He is the potter. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is perfect in all things. He is light. In him there is no darkness. He is love. He is full of grace and mercy and compassion. We couldn't even stand in his presence because he reigns in unapproachable light. No man has ever seen God because we're imperfect. We're unholy creatures. We can't live in his presence until one day we get to heaven and we do get to see him. And the beginning of true humility starts with the right view of God and the right understanding of who Jesus is. If you see God in the right way, then you'll see yourself in the right way. You know, it really even bugs me sometimes when we take credit for things that only God can do. Only God can bring the increase to his church, but a lot of times we will say, well, I converted or I led this. What? God made that happen. We never take credit for the fall away, but we want to take credit for the addition. It was God's word that changed that person's heart. It wasn't your analogies or your wisdom or your insight. I've never converted anyone. God's converted them, and he's used me as his instrument to help bring them to Jesus. To him be the glory. He gets the credit. It's his son, his daughter that was added to the kingdom. They went down into the waters of baptism and rose a new creation by the blood of Jesus. It had nothing to do with me in that when he went down in that water. I just needed to put them all the way under and bring them all the way back up. But you got to see God in the right way. There's no room for pride or arrogance in us. There's no room for us to have a greater esteem of ourselves than we really should. There's no room for that. If Jesus walked in this room today, we wouldn't applaud. We'd fall on our knees. Because the Bible says that one day every knee will bow. And I'm telling you, the time to bow is now and not later. And you know, us men, we have a bigger problem with this than the sisters. Now, women got their own stuff, and if we have time, we'll address that. But men, we struggle with pride. And so much of it is because we don't have the proper view of God. And so we're arrogant. You know, the number one marital problem I see is a lack of humility, especially in the husbands. Unwilling to admit that we were wrong. Unwilling to say the words. I was wrong. It was my fault. I'm sorry. I have no excuse. Please forgive me. That's what I say to my wife. I don't say the devil made me do it, or if you hadn't done what you did, then I wouldn't have done what I did. Take ownership. That's true humility. And that'll take your marriage further than you trying to be right. I don't care about being right. I want to be unified. I want God to be glorified. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's talk about this humility. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen at this. Verse 20. I wish I had time to read the whole chapter, but I don't. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. We serve a great God. Have you not heard? Have you not seen? Who are we to even have a relationship with God who alone is immortal? Who are we to even have an opportunity to cry out to him and to call on him? He created us. We did not create him. He is perfect. We are imperfect. He is righteous and we are not. All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. We're nothing. We're just the mist. And we need to bow down humbly before God every day and give him praise. Not just for his glory, but to put ourselves in the proper position. The proper position. The number one reason that people do not become Christians is because they do not see themselves the way they really are in the presence of God. There's no way you can see God the right way and not bow down humbly before him and turn yourself over to him. Can't do it. But when you don't know God and you don't see God, then you think you can live without God. And I'm here to tell you, we cannot live without God when we're in our right mind. He is a great God. You know, Jesus tells this story over in Luke chapter 18. He says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, beginning in verse 9, and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I mean, he's praying to God and he's looking at somebody else and saying, I'm thankful I'm not like him. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That's not humility. Humility is not legalistic righteousness. God was looking in their hearts and not just at what they did externally. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you the truth that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the tax collector's posture is the posture we should have before God. Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. I don't even deserve to look up to you. I don't even deserve to be able to call on you. I don't deserve to be in your kingdom. I don't deserve the wife I have. I don't deserve the life I have. I don't deserve the children I have. I don't deserve the job I have. I don't deserve anything I have, because every good thing in my life has come from God. And I stand in humility. I stand just humbly before you, acknowledging your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your greatness. This needs to be the attitude of every disciple. It should be the attitude of every human being. It's not. And this is the attitude you have to remain faithful and to even grow in Christ. The reason that a lot of us get stuck is we get stuck in our pride and nobody can help us, because we don't see ourselves the way we truly are in the presence of God. I've never seen a prideful, arrogant individual make it as a disciple, whether it's a leader or a non-leader. Never seen it happen. The longer we are on this earth, the more humble we should become. Because the more we realize that every day that we have is a gift from God that we did not deserve. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 115. You see, I know that every good thing in my life is from God. The mere fact that I even became a disciple was by the hand of God. God rescued me. And then to end up with Cynthia for these last 38 years, in August to be 38 years, that's the grace of God. To have two wonderful daughters who love Jesus and have made him the Lord of their lives, that's the goodness of God. To have the health I have, that's the goodness of God. To have the relationships I have is the goodness of God. It's not me, it's him. And I humble myself before him every day and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for being with me, for rescuing me, for strengthening me, for keeping me in my right mind. And even the struggles in my life, they are a gift from God. Because those struggles teach me not to rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. And so I don't complain about them. I just say, God, give me the strength to get through them. And so what is your posture this morning? You see, you know one another in here. You know. You know the brothers and sisters who are humble. And you know the ones who are prideful. I don't know yet. I haven't been here that long. But you know the ones who have the proper perspective and view of God, who always put themselves first, I. They have eye trouble instead of him. And really in our lives, we shouldn't be first, we shouldn't be second, we should be third. It should be God first, others second, and then us. That's humility. That's true humility. And is that our disposition this morning? The Bible says, and this is a command, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself so that God will not have to. But you humble yourself under God's mighty hand so he may lift you. You know, so many people are so insecure that they always got to say, well, look, and I need to be recognized. I want you to realize I do this or I do this or I lead this. Or I should be leading this. Look, if you're humble, God will lift you up in due time. You don't need to come to me and say, Sam, they don't realize how awesome I am. If God needs to be the one who realizes how awesome you are if you're all that awesome. And he'll lift you up, says, well, these people are in my way. Look, no one's in your way. God is in control. This is not the Sam Powell Church. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. And if God wants to lift you up, he will, and he won't let anybody get in the way of that. But if you refuse to surrender your life to God, then you have a hard time. If you refuse to be, you know, it's even hard to be close to people who are not humble. Hard to even want to be around them. But the key to growth is humility before God. That's the key. And if we can just learn that, if we could just understand that, look, if I can get this on straight, you know, we sit down with a lot of married couples. And what we find out is that a lot of them are stuck. And so it's like, well, okay, what's the secret to having a breakthrough here? And we've sat down with people who've been disciples 20, 25 years, and they're still stuck. I mean, marriage is miserable. Kids are looking at them going, my parents are crazy. And they say, well, what's your, and then we just, you know, I try to help the husbands. I say, bro, it's time to get humble. It's time to humble yourself before God. And stop trying to be right, stop being defensive, stop thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. And it seems to me that it is so difficult for people to go there. So difficult. Because they don't realize that this conflict is evidence of your pride. And your unwillingness to say, look, okay, whatever I got to do, I'm going to do to get this thing right. See, that's the way Cynthia and I work. It's like, whatever I got to do, honey, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Just tell me what I got to do. You know, in the early days, it was, well, let me tell you. And I had a record. I knew the facts. I could tell her everything that happened. But that didn't fix it. You see, when you're proud, you can be right and still be wrong. Because of your disposition and your attitude. And look, it really goes back to me and God. I'm going to humble myself before God. God, what? You know, when something aren't doing well, you know what I ask? God, what are you trying to show me that I need to change? You know, a lot of people think, boy, I sure wish she would change or he would change, because if he changed, I wish somebody would disciple him. You don't ever go into discipleship time looking for someone else to be fixed. You go into looking for a fix for you. Because the only person you can change is you. You can't change your spouse. Have you not learned that yet? Have you not learned that yet? You can't change your children. You had 5 years early on to do whatever. You could dress them however you want. You could put the hair in whatever style you want, whatever. Make them wear whatever clothes they want. Eat whatever you told them to eat. But then after them 5 years, things start changing. And they start saying, no, I ain't wearing that and I ain't eating that. And you missed the opportunity to dress up little boo-boo however you want her to look. And now it's like they grow up. But did you teach them humility before God? Did you teach them to fear God? Did you teach them to love God? Did you teach them to respect God? Did you teach them that you submit to God? That's what they need to see. And not just, well, the key to life is a good education or to be good athletically or to be good in some other. That doesn't count for anything on the day of judgment. Nobody's going to ask you or your kids about their degrees. Not going to matter. Only thing that's going to matter is, do you know the Lord? And have you humbly submitted to him? Let me go to point two. And this is the one. I'm trying to go to point two. The devil doesn't want y'all to see point two. Humility before one another. There it is. Humility before one another. Now, we're going to talk about this for a few minutes, and then I'm going to be done. This is the test of whether you're truly humble before God. I've heard a lot of people say, me and God, we get along great. It's the people I have a problem with. I could be a good Christian if they weren't for other people. Well, the reason God left you on this earth after you became a Christian was so that you could learn how to love other people. So you can learn how to get along with other people. And if you can't get along with other people, there's a common denominator here, and that's you. What's the problem? When a person is truly humble before God, not only do they get along well with people like them and want to be around them. All right? And that's the way it should be. But the question is, how do you see yourself? How do you see you? I know how I see me. I'm nothing without God. I deserve nothing. And yes, it's an honor to be up here and to share with all of you today, but that's totally by the grace of God. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve any. I mean, when I look at myself before other people, the Bible says, consider others better than yourself. I'm going to look at that in just a minute. That's the way I should look at things. And I'm not trying to compete or compare or to say that I'm better than this or that person, because I know whatever good has happened in my life, any victory, any talent, any ability, is by the hand of God. So who am I to boast? Who am I to brag? Humility comes from having the correct identity. So many of us, we have the wrong, mistaken identity. Who are you? Who are we? I'm just a humble servant of the mighty King, trying to make it to heaven and giving him glory along the way. And Lord, just point out my imperfections, because I want to see them so I can be more like you. And it doesn't matter who it comes from. It can come from a child. It can come from a leader. It can come from a visitor. It can come from a stranger. Just show me, Lord, how I can be better for you. A lot of us, if someone doesn't say it the right way at the right time, then we dismiss it. Well, how will God speak to you? Through his word and through others. Through that wife who keeps nagging you about your bad attitude. Through that husband who won't take your side because you're wrong. Through those little children who just say, Mommy and Daddy, did you hear what the man said at church? Did you hear that? Y'all not doing that. What do you say to them? Shut up, I'm the parent, you know? That's God trying to speak to you. Here it is what the Bible says. It says your attitude should be similar, close to, kind of like, if it's possible, on your good days, the same as that of Christ Jesus. No, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was Jesus' attitude, church? We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Creator of all things. We're talking about the one who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, who is perfect in all his ways. And what was his attitude? Who did no wrong. Who never had anything to confess. We're talking about Jesus. And here the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 1. And we're thinking about our model here, our standard, the perfecter of our faith. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, I'm in Philippians 2, verse 1. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found as an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what the Bible says about Jesus. This was the attitude of Jesus. When people did Jesus wrong, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 that when they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. In other words, that means when my wife accuses me and I just go, honey, I'm sorry. I don't think you got that on right, but can we talk about it? And I'm not, it's not like, well, you know what you did. Talking about me. Let me tell you about you. Doggone it. That's not what Jesus did. He says, when they hurled insults at him, okay. Boy, that's so hard for us. That is so hard for us because we feel like I got to defend myself. The Bible says instead he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. God defended Jesus. And yes, sometimes we're defensive, and what good does that do? You know, I was trying to help a guy out with his marriage, back on this marriage thing, because the campus people left and the teens left, so it's just the singles and the marriage, and some of y'all want to get married. I'm trying to tell you, marriages, it's hard. beautiful. It's great. But if you get married thinking some man going to deliver you, you in for a world of hurt. Because I'm telling you, when you get two sinners confined in a closed place space, sparks fly. And the only thing that can fix it is humility. So here I am. I'm trying to help this brother. And he's like, well, you know, my wife isn't doing this. And my wife isn't doing that. And man, she's not this. And he's got his whole list of things. And you know what? He was right. But I said, bro, how you going to fix it? You're going to have to love her anyway. And stop bringing up all these things that you think she's not so good at. Because you're a sinner too. Because that's what God did. That's what Jesus did with us. And it's so hard for us. And I know some of you, you hear me, but you're not listening. Because with some of you, people don't even want to go and confront you on anything because they know how you're going to respond. But what about you? And what about this? And what about that? I don't care about those things. The only thing I care about is being like Jesus and being right before God. And if I got to say, I'm sorry. You know, I was on a phone call. You know, some brothers were trying to help me resolve a conflict. I didn't even know I had a conflict, but you got a conflict with this brother and y'all need to talk. And I'm like, and they said, can we talk with you before we talk with him? So I tried to talk to them. It didn't work out. And so I ended up on this phone call with this brother who had these issues with me. And he's going through it. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And then I tell him, bro, did you understand this? And it's just not working. And it's not going well. Then I just said, okay, stop. I'm sorry. Bro. I'm so sorry. I didn't see how these things hurt you. Please forgive me. I'm not interested in being right here. I just want to know what I got to do to move forward with you. I'm telling you, though, that was not me. That was the Spirit of God. That was not me. Because the me that I grew up with in the projects in the South was like, what? You said what? You better back up here. Just cross this line over here and see what happens. That's me. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. And our Bible tells us, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but do what, church? In humility, consider others what? Better. Consider others what? Better. Tell somebody, you're better than me. Better. Oh, Lord. Some of you won't even say it. You won't even say it. You better. You see, when you treat somebody... When you treat somebody like they're better than you, it changes your disposition. You know, my wife says, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes we think we can't change things. And we can be in the worst situation and even in the worst conflict with somebody, get a phone call from some other Christian. And here we've just been spewing out all kinds of evil. We get on the phone. Hey, how you doing? Oh, you're so... God bless you. Yeah, love the Lord. How's it going? Fine. Everything's good. Me and Jesus walking in the light, you know. Holy, holy, holy. Yes. Good talking to you. Bye. We can change. We can change if we set our mind to it. Are you humble? What's your reputation in this region? Are you humble? Are you a humble man? Are you a humble woman? Do you even show up for D time? Are you seeking input? And if you're seeking it, are you taking it? You know, I think we need to stop trying to make people do what's right because it doesn't work. Just stop it. Bro, you don't want to get together? Fine, I'll get with somebody who wants help. After all these years? Why? Waste your time beating somebody over the head who doesn't even want you to help them. They go home talking bad about you. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. And just ask God to work on them, because God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And if you don't get this lesson, God will deal with you. And we'll just sit back and watch it happen as he breaks you down until you reach a point where, God, thank you, I needed that. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, he says, Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. This is the calling we've received. We're not called to be like the world. The world is arrogant. The world is defensive. The world is like, well, you did me wrong. I need justice. I need this. That's not what we're called to. We're called to a different culture. We're called to a different way of life. Does that mean that you not speak the truth, that you're not honest? Sure, you're honest, and you say what you need to say, but at the end of the day, I walk with God. I'm here to glorify God. He is my justice. He is my defender. He is the one who will, vengeance is not mine, it's his. And I'm going to put my trust in him and try to be the best man of God I can. That's what I'm called to live a life worthy of that calling, to be completely humble, not just a little bit humble. Completely humble and gentle. That's what he calls us to. Not the way of our sinful nation, not the way of the world. Here's my challenge to you, church. Walk humbly with your God. If you got any questions today about whether you're truly humble or not, there are good people in this room who will tell you the truth if you want to hear it. I've never met a person who didn't need to grow in humility. Never. That's why every morning, as Colossians 3 tells us, therefore, as God's holy people, dearly and holy love, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Got to put it on every day. Every day. Walk humbly with your God. Teach others to walk humbly with God. If we're trying to help people become Christians, we've got to teach them humility before God. Teach your children humility before God. Walk humbly. Set the example with your God. God bless.